Again, that's Mark chapter number 5. We're going to look at not necessarily the entire passage of Scripture this morning, but we will, through it all, we will look at the entire passage this morning, beginning really in verse number 21. I'm going to go ahead and get there. Last week, and we looked at the, as we would probably say, the maniac of Gadara, the demoniac of Gadara, the man that was possessed by a devil, however you want to put it. We looked at that passage last week. We even touched on the passage from the week before about how Jesus stills the storms. The last few weeks, we looked at who is the Christ that cares. I'm not going to necessarily rehash that, but we do know He is the God of this universe and the creator of this universe, and He is our Savior. Well, last week we looked at how do you know that Christ cares, and we saw several different ways how Christ cares for us, and that one of those, as He sees us at our worst, and He doesn't run away, that He was right there. And think about not only that man, the maniac Gadara, but think about any other lepers. Jesus saw them at their worst. People didn't want to go near them, but Jesus was willing to put His hands on them because He cares. So we know that He cares, and we saw how much that He cares. Today, we're going to look at the benefits of Christ's care. And we alluded to some of these even last week with the message that we heard. But before we get any further into that, let's go ahead, let's read. And actually, I'm going to pick up at the end of our text from last week. We'll read a little bit into our text for this week. So let me go back. Let's start at verse number 18. So this is following Jesus has healed the man that was possessed of the devil. The people of the city now have told Jesus, we don't want you here. Please go back to the other side of the sea, if you will. And verse number 18, we pick up, the Bible says, and when he, that was the man that was possessed, he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, that's the man possessed with the, who was possessed with the devil, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We can keep reading now, verse number 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. We're going to stop reading there for this moment. We'll look at the remainder of the text here, but I do want to give you, if you take notes and write a title down for the message, it actually goes back to where we began in verse number 19, where Jesus suffered the man who was possessed of the devil, and said, go home, tell to thy friends, and tell them great things the Lord hath done. So really, a title of our message comes from that phrase right there, great things the Lord hath done. With that, let's pray once more, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you again saying thank you for this opportunity to be able to be in this place and meeting together with a body of believers and opening up your word and to hear your voice. Lord, may not be this the voice of this earthen vessel. Yes, you use this earthen vessel for however you see fit, but Lord, may it be your voice that they hear. May it be your words that are heard. And Lord, may it be your spirit that convicts and brings us to that point of decision this morning. Lord, we thank you for all you have done. I pray that you would remove the hindrances, distractions, obstacles that would keep us from having our focus on you this morning. I pray these things in your name. Amen. So I was just thinking about that title, Great Things the Lord Hath Done. There may be a song or two that may have come to your mind, but one of the songs that I tend to think of is, To God Be the Glory. Great for all the great things He hath done. It's in our hymnal. We sing it on a fairly regular basis. But that song comes to my head when I hear, praise the Lord for the great things He hath done. Mentioned earlier that we were going to look at the benefits of Christ's care. We'll get into a few of those that we mentioned last week. We're going to look into a few more today. But let me ask you, what are benefits? When you hear the word benefits, what's one of the things that pops into your mind? One of the things that I think of is health care, health insurance, and whether you get it, you pay for your own, or you get it through an employer, or whatever the case might be. But you get this health plan, and before you do that, you want to make sure that the benefits that are part of that health plan cover what you want covered, right? You don't want to go into it and then, oh wait, a simple dental procedure isn't covered. Oh no, how much is that going to cost? Or some, they provide vision. I need glasses. Now, I don't need them as much as some might say I need them more than others. I think I'm fine. I can see blurry vision. No. I see men as trees. No, not quite. No, my eyes aren't that bad. I can see you just fine. All right? But it's nice to have a plan where, hey, maybe vision is covered, so glasses, they get expensive. And maybe it's not necessarily the frame, but it's that lens, you know, that piece that goes in the frame, that gets pretty expensive. And you like to be able to have a benefit there that covers, it would be nice that it covers all, at least a good portion of that, or whatever other health care benefit that you need. You pray that, you look at the plan, like, all right, yeah, that's the one we're going to go with. Now, that's what I think of when you think of benefits, but here's a definition of benefit. Now you took it from the Webster 1828, and the first definition that comes up for benefit is simply this: it's an act of kindness. It has nothing about payment or anything like that, but it's an act of kindness. It's a favor conferred. And if you want to talk about benefits, especially the benefits the Lord provides, go to Psalm 103. Write that down. Go through that entire chapter. Talk about benefits that the Lord gives, all right? But benefits, an act of kindness, a favor conferred. And conferred, that just means to give or to bestow. Here's a A synonym that goes along with that would be the word gratuitous. Now, when you hear gratuitous, what do you think there? You're giving something voluntarily. You're giving something freely. It's something that's being granted without claim or even merit. I realize when we go to restaurants, we give, there's a gratuity that goes involved with many of our your food and your things like that. But really, it's something that you lay down of your own free will. You're giving it freely. Now, sometimes the merit does come into play on how much you give, and really, we're not going to go into that. That's not the message this morning. But I want you to understand that a benefit in this case is something that is freely given. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. Some of the benefits of Christ's care that we saw in the previous section of Scripture, so really those first 20-ish verses of Mark chapter 5, there was peace. Was one of those benefits. There was a man that we read about last week who, living in the tombs, Bible says in other passage, parallel passage scriptures, that he would the unclean spirit that was within him would tear at him. It would cause him to scream throughout the night. He'd run around just really crazed, if you will. But when Jesus was involved, there was a peace there. There was a calmness in his demeanor. There was a calmness in his disposition. There was stability there. We find a man who was clothed, all right? He was actually in his right mind. There was clarity there. So those are just some of the benefits, and we can go through Scripture and we see different people that are healed, where or unclean spirits that are cast out, where it seems like people are just a mess or situations are just a mess. But then when Jesus gets involved and Jesus' hand is on it, it's the peace that comes, the stability that follows it, the clarity that comes. We talked about, and we read about in our scripture this morning, that this man came to Jesus and said, let me come with you. Let me come. Let me hear you, virtually, let me say, put it in my own words, let me hear you teach. Let me hear you preach. Let me see you do miracles. Let me see your ministry. But what does Jesus tell him? Jesus says, he didn't allow him to do so, but he said, stay here. Go home. Go to your friends. Tell them of the great things that you've seen the Lord do today. But he didn't just stop there. He said, tell them of his compassion on thee. Compassion, a form of love, just as caring for somebody, especially caring for somebody deeply, is a form of love. And love, not this world's love, but the love that God shows us in his word. But that man, he wasn't the only one who could tell of the great things Jesus had done. In the previous chapter, there's the disciples on the ships that were coming across the sea to where this maniac was. There was a great storm of wind, and Jesus brought a great calm when he said the words, peace be still. He brought a great calm to that great storm of wind. So the disciples were able to speak about that. Then there was the great number of miracles. Mark chapter 3, if you just go back a page or two in your Bible, Mark 3, verses 7 and 8, but Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And you just go through the first few chapters of the Gospel of Mark, there's many great things that Jesus did that people wanted to see, that spread abroad the fame of Jesus Christ. There was a demon cast out of a man in a synagogue. Christ's fame spreads. That's in chapter 1. Peter's mother-in-law was healed in Mark chapter 1. Because of Jesus' fame, many were healed. Those that were sick of diverse diseases, devils were cast out. There was a leper healed. And he published Jesus' name. He published Jesus. Even though Jesus said, hey, just go to the priest, show him yourself. That way you can be considered clean. But I don't ever think he ever made it, because the Bible tells us he just published. He uttered, he made it known that Jesus was the one that healed him, and Jesus' fame continues to spread. In chapter 2, there's the palsied man that was healed. And all who were there in that place after the roof came off, can you imagine that, being in a place and all you hear is rip, rip, tap, tap. Brother John was working on putting in carpet this week in one of the rooms in the office building, and I'm at my desk, Pastor's at his desk, and all you hear is him either ripping up or he's hammering something back down into place, and there was a commotion going on in the room that he was working in. So there was a commotion. I wasn't in the room, but think about being in that room where the roof is just coming off, and hey, there's a guy on a bed coming down. But man, Jesus' fame was spread abroad even there. All were amazed, and they gave God the glory. In chapter 3, on the Sabbath day, Christ healed a man with a withered hand. Now, that didn't leave the rulers of the synagogue too happy about that, because Jesus is working on the Sabbath day, but we do recognize, reading in Scripture, that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's another message for another day. But many benefited from Christ's ministry in that lives were changed. There were great things that were done. We just read that in Mark chapter 3. Christ care, let's just think about this. Christ care is for everyone. All right, it is. And it's made available to everyone. His care is for the greatest and the least. It's for those that fear, for those that are doubtful, those who are hopeful, if you will. Christ's care is also perfectly timed and graciously given. So, what benefits do you expect, or what other benefits are we can see other benefits in our scripture text here today, and we're going to see that today, but what can you expect from those benefits? Again, we go back to your healthcare provider and the insurance plan that you get. You expect those benefits to do something for you. But these benefits that Christ freely gives, what should we expect, if you will, if I can put it that way? And again, I've already mentioned a few of those. We're going to look at four other benefits today from Mark chapter 5. So if you're not there, go ahead and get back to Mark chapter 5. for their benefits that are found as a part of Christ's care. So that first benefit is this, and that is hope. First benefit is hope. Let's look at Mark 4. I think I said Mark 5. And actually, I wrote down Mark 4, and it should be in Mark 5. So Mark 5, let's look at verses 22 and 23. By the way, you're going to see the name Jairus in here, and this is I almost said Jairus this morning because that's our son's name here. So I had to kind of catch myself there. I almost said Jairus. No, Jairus, you stay in Sunday. You stay in junior church. But we have Jairus here, and the Bible says that he was one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet. And what's the next phrase there? And besought him greatly. He had heard of Jesus, perhaps one of those synagogues that Jesus had healed and done miracles. Perhaps that was one of the synagogues he was a part of. I don't know. The Bible doesn't specifically say that. But perhaps he has seen some of the miracles that Jesus had done. He is a religious leader. All right. So we see hope. Then we all. So we see this man Jairus. Now, if I can put it this way, we'll get to the woman here in just a moment. But we see a benefit of one of the benefits is hope, and it's given even to skeptics. It's given even to skeptics. Think about this. Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, religious leader. Perhaps he wasn't too fond of Jesus and Jesus' teaching and his practices. Perhaps he found it, even at this point in time, difficult to kneel before Jesus. But what we do see from this text, and when we continue on, there is a desperate man here. This man, he is pleading, really, if you will, over his 12-year-old daughter, his only child. He is pleading and coming to Jesus because his daughter's at death's door. And think about this, the position that he has as the ruler of the synagogue, he's perhaps a prominent member in the community, a prominent member in society, if you will. And he may have had many benefits and many... Remember, we read about the woman who went to see many physicians but was never healed. Perhaps though he has those same physicians even more at his disposal, if you will, that are available to him. But yet we still see his daughter, or to help his daughter, yet we still see him coming to Jesus, even though he perhaps has all these resources. But finally, maybe he's at his wit's end, and now his hope, even though he may be skeptical, is now in Jesus. You're the only one that can do this. So it's given to the skeptic, that hope, but it's also granted to the helpless. Let's look further down in our chapter, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. We have here the woman, perhaps if I can put it this way, the helpless one, who for 12 years now has suffered with this issue of blood. I don't know what exactly this issue of blood is. We kind of have some ideas looking into it. But let's think about this woman. She is diseased. She's an outcast of the community. But yet she is hopeful in Jesus and his miraculous healing power. This woman, perhaps due to her condition, she would be considered, quote unquote, accursed. Because one of those things was, in that culture, in that day, is if you had some type of disease about you or you are suffering from this, then, hey, you've sinned. You've done something really bad that God has to bring this on you. And that's not necessarily the case. Yeah, okay, sin does make things a little messy, but there are times when God allows things to happen for a reason, so that he can show his glory. But perhaps due to her condition, she'd be considered accursed, unclean, defiled. Also due to her condition, she probably didn't have a husband. Therefore, some of the protections and the benefits were not afforded her. Regardless, we do know this about this lady, that she is diseased, financially stressed. Anyone ever been financially stressed before? It's like, how is this going to get paid? How am I going to take care of this? I need help. So she was financially stressed, and she wasn't getting any better. She was just getting worse. See, both these individuals had hope. Because of who Jesus was and is and what he could do, hope was and still is available because Jesus is God. All right? Jesus is God. And God makes the impossible possible. He makes what is unattainable even attainable. Obviously, this is all in His will. We'll get to that here in just a moment. So that first benefit of Christ's care is that there's hope. I want to read something to you this morning. Many of you, and most of you are probably familiar with the missionary, if you will, George Mueller. There is a story, if you will, or a narrative, or something you've heard about him, and I'd like to share that with you again this morning. George Mueller was a man of prayer, and he had opened orphanages God laid upon his heart to open orphanages. And there was a time where, let's see here. Let me read this for you. The children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children to the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He, George, thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked three batches for you. I will bring it in. Soon there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed, so he asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled at the milkman as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for 300 thirsty children. And there's many other examples, many other things we can read about. But I'm sure some of you have heard that illustration, heard that story before. Mr. Mueller has really nothing to give these thirsty and hungry children. Yet, he knew where he could turn. You know where his hope was? In God. And it had been in God. Now, it wasn't always that way in his life. But he'd gotten to a point where he realized, you know what? It's all about the God of the Bible, the God that I serve. He can provide and he will in his perfect will and in his timing. George Mueller, a man of faith and prayer. So that first benefit was that of hope. The second benefit is that of healing. Of healing. Let's go back to our scripture this morning. Verse 25, let's pick up there. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, I love that word, straightway, immediately, is what it says in a parallel passage of Scripture. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You know, it's that healing, it's in God's timing. This woman, again, 12 years of suffering, physical suffering, emotional suffering, even mental suffering. She's desperate for any help. And according to Jewish law, this woman is, if I can put it this way, ceremonially unclean. If you go back to when the law was given and God is speaking to Moses and saying, here's the law that the children of Israel ought to follow. In Leviticus 15, it talks about this issue. And this woman, I'm sure she was embarrassed because she's having to deal with this every day, day in, day out. And perhaps people know who she is. They looked on her. Perhaps the people that are in this group that are throwing in Jesus know who she is. And perhaps they want nothing to do with her. But that didn't stop her from going to the one she had hope in. If I may but touch. She said, he doesn't even have to touch me. He doesn't even have to look at me. But if I may go, there's faith involved here, and just touch the hem of his garment, I may be whole. And we find in Scripture that she did just that. 12 years of suffering, in a moment, God healed. It's in God's perfect timing. And it's according to God's perfect will. You see, it wasn't a moment too soon, nor was it a moment too late. God is always on time. And you know, it was something only God could do. Remember, she had gone to the physician. She had gone to men, gone to specialists. Yet nothing.
So it was something only God can do. God is amazing that he has given us the ability to even adequately handle situations and problems that arise in our own lives. And although there come times when the only thing that can be done is go to him. And when we do, go to him humbly. Go to him in faith, boldly believing he can and will make that difference. And then wait on him. Wait on him. So we've seen the benefit of hope, of healing, of number three, of life. Benefit of life. Verse 33 to 36. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While yet he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Well, let's just start first with that, with the woman who is just miraculously healed by touching the hem, or by touching the ends of Jesus' garment. We see that the life that Jesus gives, or we see the benefit of life, is that Jesus' power, it regenerates. It regenerates. It makes anew. Think about this woman. She has no idea what to do, where to go. She has really... she has no hope, although she does know where she can find that hope, and that hope is in Christ. She was literally a walking dead woman. Let me put it that way. She was a walking dead woman. But she was a walking dead woman who was given a new start and even new hope. And that hope was in Christ. So physically, his power regenerates, but also spiritually. If we looked at Galatians chapter number 2, let's go over there. We've got just a moment here. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. I want you to see this. And just remember this woman, who she is, and where Jesus is doing this miracle. It's back in Jewish territory, if you will. Knowing that a man, or verse number 16 of Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So all that to say, in her case, even Jews needed to be justified. Even Jews needed to come to Christ. All right? They needed to put their faith in him for, we can put it this way, to be justified, to be declared and made righteous. And this woman's faith in Christ is, I believe, is what saved her. According to Jewish law, she was an outcast, perpetually unclean. But Jesus' power cleaned and healed her and made her a new woman. According to God's law, any breaking of his law made her unjust and made her a sinner. And you know, and let me before I get any further with that, only by faith in Christ could she be spiritually born again and made a new creature in Christ. You know, that law, God's law. Brother John, referenced it even today when you're witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. You go through. You can even take them and say, "Hey, let's talk about the Ten Commandments. Have you put anything before between you and God? Have you killed anybody? Have you, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet." Remember the Sabbath day. You go through the Ten Commandments, and it's to get the individual to realize, I'm not as good as I think I am. But we're just like they were, or they are. We're sinners. But the difference is Christ. He has regenerated. He has caused us to be, made us born again. We are like that woman spiritually, a sinner in need of a Savior. And we can, like her, be born again by placing our faith in Christ and what he has done for us when he shed his perfect blood on the cross, when he died there and was later buried and then rose again, where he demonstrated his power over sin, over death, and over Satan. Christ has the power to make any who come to him new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means come in union with Christ.
he shall be made a new creature. So his power regenerates, but also his power revives. Let's look at the end of the chapter of Mark chapter 5. So we finished reading where Jesus has just healed this woman. Then servants from Jairus' house come and say, "Hey, your daughter, she's gone. There's nothing more that we need to worry the master about. We need to call Jesus." But Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." So Jesus goes with the ruler, the Jairus, to his home. Peter, James, and John follow. When they find there's a whole group of people there, they're weeping, they're crying. But Jesus says, "Hey, she's only sleeping. She's not dead, but sleepeth." They laugh him to scorn. Jesus sends them away. But verse number 41, "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, immediately, the damsel rose and walked." His power revives. It brings life again. Prior to this, now we have to look at parallel passage scripture. Prior to this, Jesus raised a widow's son from the dead. The procession is going to the burial ground. The body is in the casket, if you will. What Jesus did was put his hand on the casket and arises the widow's son. It wasn't the first time that Jesus had brought somebody back from the dead. Later, we read of in the Gospel of John of when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus has power to revive. And that, so we talk about the benefits of hope, of healing, of life, but then there's visibility. And I'll just quickly go through this. In those scriptures, there are many people that were there throwing around Jesus when they saw the woman with the issue of blood healed. But even that woman, she saw and recognized that there was a change. She was brought from death, walking dead woman, to life. In the case of Jairus and his wife, they saw and realized the supernatural. There was a life-changing, a life-altering experience. The Bible says that they were astonished with a great astonishment. They were in a state of bewilderment by an extraordinary supernatural act. They were simply amazed. By turning our gaze to Christ, it will cause us to mind his immensity rather than focus on our ineptness. Christ has supernatural, wonder-working power. He can do great and mighty things beyond our thinking. You can write these scriptures down, Jeremiah 33:3, where Jesus, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, Brother John referenced it this morning, that he can do exceeding abundantly. Think about that. So there's abundantly, and then there's exceeding abundantly. So God can do exceeding abundantly, exceeding big, more than we could even ask or think. So those benefits of hope, healing, life, visibility that we talked about this morning, what can you expect from those? Well, hope, because Christ is God, hope is always available. Healing, Christ is the great physician, and he knows what prescription you need when others do not. That benefit of life, Christ has the power to make new, both physically and spiritually. And visibility, Christ can do great and mighty things beyond our thinking. So, in whose care do you place your trust? I'm not saying don't buy health care. If you need health care, obviously do what you got to do. You get that. That's a different matter, a different day. But I'm talking about care. Are we trusting in the benefits that this world has to offer, which are fleeting, that are temporal, or the benefits that Christ gives that are daily and always the same? Psalm 68:19, and again Psalm 103. See, the benefits that Jesus Christ gives, they're truly more than we could ever ask for. So why not take hold of the caring Christ's benefits today and lean on him for your physical and spiritual needs? Let me encourage you, get to know the care that Jesus Christ offers, but really, more importantly, just get to know Jesus Christ today. Heavenly Father, thank and praise your name for this time you've given to us. We'll be in your word and be reminded of the care and the benefits that come from knowing Christ and what he can and will do for us in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of those benefits each and every day. May we give you the thanks that you deserve. Lord God, may we just be mindful of who you are. May our eyes always just be turned upwards towards you, not focusing on ourselves, not focusing on this world, but focusing on what you can and have already done for us. Lord, I pray these things in your name. Amen.